Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. Not an end, but a beginning. President Carter today told the Egyptian parliament of his hope and commitment that a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel will lead to peace for all the people in the Mideast region.
Such a treaty, such an agreement, is within our grasp. Let us seize this opportunity while we have it.
Few are yet saying that a peace treaty is certain after Mr. Carter's 3 days of listening to counterproposals from President Sadat of Egypt, suggestions he will take on to Jerusalem later today. In his departure statement, after the address to the parliament, Mr. Carter said there are still problems to be resolved as he goes on to Israel. But in the statement and his speech, Mr. Carter pointed to one possible breakthrough in his talks. He said that President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin of Israel are now both committed to carrying out all the terms of the Camp David Agreement, which does involve a linkage to a comprehensive settlement of the Palestinian problem. If Begin has accepted that approach, it may clear the way for Sadat to sign a peace treaty. In his speech to the parliament, Mr. Carter was warmly received. A report from CBS News correspondent Reed Collins in Cairo.
The president told the People's Assembly that he has a personal obligation to negotiate solutions to the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and other issues of concern to Palestinians, and to future negotiations with other neighbors of Israel. But he had a warning as well.
We are ready to work with any who are willing to talk peace. Those who attack these efforts are opposing the only realistic prospect that can bring real peace to the Middle East. Let no one be deceived. The effect of their warlike slogans and their rhetoric is to make them, in reality, advocates of the status quo, not change. Advocates of war, not peace. Advocates of further suffering, not of achieving the human dignity to which long-suffering people of this region are entitled.
Then it was on to a final private discussion with President Sadat, and soon after sunset, the flight to Tel Aviv. Reed Collins, CBS News, Cairo.
The president is scheduled to arrive in Israel about 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and in Jerusalem, Dan Raviv sets the scene.
Jerusalem is ready for both the politics and the pageantry of Mr. Carter's visit. Prime Minister Begin has made it clear that at the first session of talks this evening, he expects to hear from the president what Egypt had to say about the latest American compromise proposals. Israel has accepted them, and according to Begin, if Egypt approves the same proposals, a peace treaty can be signed in a few weeks. If it's not that simple, if, for instance, Egypt is requesting some modifications, then President Carter and Prime Minister Begin will have plenty of time to negotiate. One round of talks tonight, a session with Israel's cabinet tomorrow, and two more negotiating sessions set for Monday. As for the pageantry, Mr. Carter will see American and Israeli flags on every lamppost as he enters Jerusalem. Tomorrow there will be a dinner and musical show at Israel's parliament, the Knesset. Security is very tight here, and in the rest of Israel and the occupied territories, too. This morning, the military command reported that Israeli troops had killed four Arab guerrillas trying to cross from Jordan into the occupied West Bank. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
The military command said the four guerrillas killed were members of a Palestinian death squad, and they carried documents indicating they planned to take hostages. Though President Carter appealed to other Arab nations today to join in the peace process, they continue to criticize his visit. Syria's government newspaper today calls on Arabs to resist what it calls the plan of capitulation drawn up at Camp David. And a Kuwaiti newspaper says that Saudi Arabia will cut off aid to Egypt if the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel ignores Arab demands. The Arabs have been pressing their demands at the UN, as Richard C. Hotlett reports.
The Security Council heard bitter denunciation of Israel's policy in occupied territories and demands for total withdrawal from Arab lands, including Arab Jerusalem. Jordan, which has long counted as one of the moderate Arab states, led off as spokesman for the West Bank Palestinians. The Israelis, said Ambassador Nasebe, are determined to seize the land and the water resources and to dispose of the Palestinian people when nothing is left for them to survive on. He accused the United States of knuckling under to Menachem Begin and the, quote, Jewish lobby by supporting a policy in which the Israelis behaved like vampires and vultures. Zudi Terzi of the PLO declared that, in his words, the Zionist racist forces of occupation plan, quote, the elimination of the Palestinian from his homeland, a virtual genocide, unquote. My people are determined to resist all attempts to eliminate them, he said. We will adopt all legitimate measures, including armed struggle. The debate will continue well into next week as an angry counterpoint to President Carter's peace effort in the Middle East. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Iranian women by the thousands are taking part in spreading protests in Tehran today against orders to go back to Muslim garb. Don Cladstrup has more.
It was noisy but peaceful as tens of thousands of women in Tehran demonstrated for equal rights. Several thousand staged a sit-in at the Ministry of Justice to repeat demands expressed yesterday. Among them, complete equality between men and women and equal participation in the social and political affairs of the country. That means no job discrimination, the right to obtain a divorce, and the right to dress as one pleases. The demonstrations were touched off when Ayatollah Khomeini recently announced that women in government offices should wear the traditional veil. Today, demonstrators made it clear they will dress as they wish. And they warned that if their demands are not broadcast tonight on national Iranian radio and television, they will stage another sit-in tomorrow, this time on the premises of the state-owned broadcast company. Don Cladstrup, CBS News, Tehran.
Meanwhile, sources close to Iranian Prime Minister Mehdi Bazargan say that Bazargan has offered his resignation but withdrawn it after the Ayatollah Khomeini promised to issue orders backing him. Vietnamese broadcasts on the invasion by China are taking on an increasingly impatient tone. Peter Collins reports from our listening post in Hong Kong.
Radio Hanoi says that despite Peking's announcement 5 days ago of a withdrawal, Chinese troops are deliberately delaying their pullback from Vietnamese border areas. A Hanoi broadcast heard here in Hong Kong accuses the Chinese of continuing to build trenches and fortifications and of burning and looting. It listed a number of border areas where fighting was still taking place. But nearly all of the places cited are closer to the China-Vietnam border than battle areas reported last week, thus indirectly confirming that a Chinese pullback is underway. How far it will go is in some doubt. Intelligence sources are reporting indications the Chinese may not withdraw completely. Officials in Peking are saying negotiations with Vietnam may not open for some time, and when they do, they will not be easy. This is being taken here as an indication that Chinese troops may stay in some portions of Vietnamese territory for bargaining purposes. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
As for the fighting in Uganda, there doesn't appear to be much today, as the invaders from Tanzania apparently dig in to await more supplies. On the island of Corsica, the quiet of the night was shattered by a score of bomb blasts outside banks. Corsican separatists on the French-run Mediterranean island claimed responsibility for the blasts, which caused extensive damage but no casualties. Observers said the separatists had apparently taken care to guard against loss of life. It was the worst night of bombing on the island since last July, when 34 bombs were set off in the space of 1 hour.
If your pickup truck is guzzling gas on the job, fire it and get a Datsun.
Put your money in the bank.
The gas-stingy Datsun trucks. Every one hauls a bigger payload than some Ford and Chevy half-tonners and does it on far less gas. Every one is EPA rated at 20 miles per gallon. Use these numbers for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Choose from three tough Datsun trucks, including the exclusive Datsun King Cab. Only pickup of any size with reclining bucket seats and extra storage space inside the cab. So pick your quality-built Datsun. It'll work for you, play for you, and save you money to boot.
Put your money in the bank.
Don't miss the Datsun Twin 200 at Ontario Motor Speedway March 25th. Discount coupons available at participating Datsun dealers.
The editors
dealers.
Of Progressive Magazine say it is absurd to charge that a proposed article on the hydrogen bomb could endanger national security. The federal government has obtained a temporary court injunction barring publication of the article, which it alleges tells how to build an H-bomb. The managing editor of Progressive Magazine, Samuel Day, disputes the allegation.
We contend that one cannot really understand some of the fundamental issues in nuclear weapons policy without discussing some of the mechanics and some of the design concepts of nuclear weapons. And our last intention is to help anybody build a nuclear bomb. As a matter of fact, it's an absurd idea that somebody can read a progressive article and thereby get any help in building a hydrogen bomb. It just does not make any sense.
The Justice Department goes back into court next Friday to seek a permanent order barring publication of the article. In handing down the temporary order, U.S. District Judge Robert Warren said issues of liberty versus life were involved, and said the judge, "You can't speak freely when you're dead."